I was hopping in Minnesota in June of 25, as I was there for a separate video in Minnesota, and started reaching out to me, asking me if I was making a video on the fraud. I said, well, what fraud? And this lady, she was a real estate agent, and she says, well, I'm having a hard time selling my properties because people are curious about these assisted livings that are popping up next door to some of the houses that we're buying, or the home health care clinics that are popping up, and we don't know who's next to these houses that we're trying to sell. And I said, well, I'm not going to come and make a video if I don't have any proof. So therefore, I left Minnesota, and I continued to look for fraud as in the best way I could. And as I was getting my own information, a man by the name of David reached out to me, and he said, hey, I have been investigating this fraud for years now. I have been driving by these childcare centers. I have never seen a single child, and I have received the information from the state of Minnesota as to how much money these places are receiving. I said, great, let me come to Minnesota and we'll make this video about potential fraud that was taking place inside of Minnesota. We go to a daycare, and I'm instantly surprised by what we see. We arrived, and it was an industrialized building, and there was two daycares registered at that daycare, at that building. And the first thing I noticed is all the windows are blacked out, and there's no footprints in the snow of any children. There's no playgrounds or anything that would make it look like it's a childcare. But above me, a sign read, open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. But there was nobody there. The doorbell did not even work. And then we continued to go to other daycares, and we noticed the same pattern. No children, blacked out windows. And one daycare, a learning center, spelled Quality Learning Center instead of Quality Learning Center. They had received $1.9 million. Yet with that $1.9 million, they could not even spell Learing right on their sign. Governor Waltz has said he's been fighting fraud in Minnesota since 2019 and said the buck stops with him. However, how long would it take for you to notice $1 million being leaving your bank account and not knowing where it's going? That's essentially what had been happening in Minnesota for years, as billions of dollars have been misplaced. And meanwhile, while people like Governor Tim Walz call people like me a white supremacist, delusional conspiracy theorist, he actually decided to drop out of re-election because, I believe, of how deep and extensive this fraud is. Thank you very much. Since my reporting, the HHS department froze over $185 million, and to this day, not a single business has been able to prove proof of legitimacy. How fast would you be proving that you are a legitimate business if you have children to actually feed and to take care of? You'd be sending in that paperwork instantly. I made this video to document the widespread fraud that has been taking place, as I truly believe all fraud is bad. And people like me, my generation, we're sick of seeing tax dollars go towards fraud. We just want to have the same opportunities that our fathers and our grandparents had. And when you see people making millions of dollars by committing fraud, it upsets everybody from all age demographics. And so I hope today we can have a good conversation, and I think we can all agree that fraud is bad and that fraud is fraud. And I wish the best for our country, and I think that's what needs to be happening, is to crack down on all forms of fraud. So thank you for having me, and God bless the USA.
Thank you, Mr. Shirley. And now I recognize Ms. Larson for your 5-minute opening statement.
Chairman, ranking member, and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak today on this issue.
I'm going to step in on this because a lot happening there on the Hill today. We're following all the congressional hearings, as you see. We're also following what's unraveling over in Davos. So a lot to discuss there. But there's actually a report that you haven't seen yet, and it has to do with potential fraud in, well, Texas, the DFW area, in regards to H-1B visas. A lot of them are being dished out by the thousands in DFW. And, well, there's one brave journalist doing some door knocking, asking some simple questions that apparently nobody wants to answer. Sarah Gonzalez joins us in just a few moments. So don't go anywhere. We've got it here for you first, and you're not going to see it anywhere else except, of course, over on her X page in just a few moments. So, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss.
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. As we continue to cover everything going on both in Davos, the World Economic Forum, President Trump telling WEF attendees that the European leaders call him daddy. That was the quote of the day for me. Had us really cracking up over here. But we're going to continue to follow the president as he makes his way throughout Davos. He's got a lot of meetings on his plate right now. And so we're watching that. But we're also watching what's happening over on the Hill right now. There are several congressional committee hearings going on. And they also, as we told you before, are kicking off their potential charges that could brew for Bill and Hillary Clinton, the contempt charges, which we're hoping might come, but you never know. We'll keep our eye on that, though. I want to jump over to something else, though. The Islamic takeover in Texas, as we just spoke with Aaron Wrights about. It's a very serious issue. And as Rasmussen reports, has polled, about 77% of voters truly do think that the Islamic takeover here in the United States is a top issue for them. So you got to keep your eye on everything. And Amy Mack over at the Rare Foundation is doing just that. She exposed something that was very big that we broke for you too on this show in regards to Grapevine, their public schools. We're going to be welcoming a bunch of, let's just say, Islamists to do the 2016 Islamic Games at their high school. Well, after public pressure and, of course, the great work of exposing this, Amy Mack got them to cancel, and they have since canceled. Now, again, this was being run by CARE, which here in the state of Texas is actually considered to be a terrorism organization. And it's very, very concerning that they continue to sit there and try to, infiltrate our public schools. Joining me to discuss is Sarah Gonzalez. She's one of the incredible hosts over at The Blaze. And she's been doing some incredible work that we're going to highlight for you in just a bit. But Sarah, you know, I've been texting back and forth with you about this one, because this is a big report. They have since canceled these games that they were going to be holding. It was a CARE-linked, is the specific words that were used here, event that was going to be taking place over at one of the public schools there. What's your reaction to this? This is big news that they canceled it.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for having me, Brianna. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I think that if this shows anything to the American people and to the people of Texas, it's that public pressure works. When you are awake, when you are not asleep at the wheel, when you are actively reaching out to your local community, to your representatives and saying, we don't want this in our schools, we don't want this in our communities, we don't want this in our local government, whatever the case may be, because as we know, Brianna, they are trying to infiltrate at every single possible level. And so when the public reaches out in, you know, all of the masses that they have reached out and said, we cannot allow this. Do not do this. It works. If there's anything to be learned from this, it is that it works, because the other side has been doing it for ages. It's how they have been able to infiltrate in the way that they have. It is why we are now battling in the state of Texas, Epic City, an all-inclusive Muslim compound. How does that happen? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens because all of the other side has been awake for a very long time. Awake and woke, I would say. But they have known for a very long time, all you have to do is put this pressure on these local leaders. All you have to do is try to tell them that it's Islamophobic, that it's racist, that it's xenophobic, to not allow them to take a stronghold of our communities. And when we do the same things that they do, when we show up in mass, when we demand accountability for all of this, good things happen. So I want the public to be encouraged by the Islamic Games being canceled. I want them to be very, very encouraged and not lose their voice on this issue.
Yeah. And Sarah, I think this is important, too, because, you know, I went to the hearing that was taking place. This is a couple of months back regarding Epic. And it was so widely supported. The opposition was widely supported by the community itself that, in fact, We ran out of seating inside of the hearing room, and they had to create an overflow room, and that overflow room was actually overflowing still. There were too many people to really be held in this room, and that's really important because Texans don't want any part in any of this. They've started to realize what's going on here. Sadly, our politicians were trying to play it safe, and they didn't really want to take on this issue, but now everyone's jumping on board. But this is a big one, and you know, you've recently exclusively obtained an email that I want to show to our audience, and this email, it's an email apparently being sent from Dallas, our school district in Dallas, and ultimately it's in multiple different translations. I mean, even Arabic is one of the translations that you're seeing here on your screen. Sarah, where did you get this email specifically from? What school district is it? And then what's going on in this email?
Yeah, so this was the Shady Brook school in Hearst Euless, Bedford is the exact location where this school is. And I mean, the sad part, as you point out, it's Arabic, it's Urdu, it's Farsi. It's also Spanish, by the way, while we're throwing out all of these issues, also Spanish. And it's just we're doing this at the same time. These school districts are catering to all of these other languages at the same time that they are, of course, you know, hearing President Trump say that the official language of this country is English. And on top of this, Brianna, I just want to highlight how pervasive this issue is. Not only are these emails going out to all of these families of the schools in all of these different languages. But you have to imagine that this is, of course, also happening in the schools where they are having to hire teachers to teach all of these children who are coming here not knowing English, English. So that means our taxpayer dollars are being used even more to fund the teaching of all of this, the catering to all of these foreigners who shouldn't be here in the first place. It's a really, really pervasive issue. And how do you expect that any American-born child is going to feel comfortable in their communities when they have all of these children who are joining their schools who can't even speak the language, all of these families who are coming in who can't even speak the language? I mean, you got to imagine, Brianna, that like a basketball game, a high school basketball game is a little awkward when you can't even turn around and speak to the person sitting next to you, the family sitting next to you, because no one can speak the language. I mean, it is a really, really pervasive issue. I got this email from actually someone who works over at the Blaze with me who received it. Their child, unfortunately, goes to the school and he received it. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, how do we join the school community? How do we feel comfortable in our own community when this is what we're dealing with here? English is seemingly a second thought here in the state of Texas at these public schools.
Well, and Sarah, this is why it's so important for people to jump on this, because we saw what was happening in Minnesota. Even one of their Muslim leaders over there calling what's happened in certain Minneapolis and the surrounding areas, how they've conquered certain parts of the cities. And they use the specific word conquered because that's how they view it. And sadly, so many Americans yes. don't realize that's what's going on here. They view this as conquering the West and slowly purchasing up lands. And they've ramped it up because they've, you know, they apparently have a really good foreign investor who's been able to help them with all of this, but they've ramped it up in Texas. And like Aaron Wrights told our audience, you know, two of the biggest mosques in the country are here in Texas. And I don't think people realize it, but it's not just Texas, it's Oklahoma as well, Oklahoma City specifically. Florida has a big issue with this in the Tampa area that's exploding right now. They're flocking to these Republican states and they are building here. Why is it that so many leaders, so many conservatives were so fearful of talking about this issue, even though it's widely popular amongst the American population?
Yeah, it's a great question, Brianna, especially here in the state of Texas. We should be leading on this issue. There's absolutely no reason why Texas should not be leading on this issue. Unfortunately, the problem here in Texas is that we have a rhino problem when it comes down to it. We have a Speaker of the House. The prior Speaker of the House was elected by a Democrat majority. And so what that means is that you have a Speaker who is weak on conservative issues. You have a Speaker who is weak on the issues that his constituency wants him to lead on. And this is the direct result of that. I mean, you have here in the state of Texas, and again, if it's happening in the state of Texas, it's happening everywhere. I would like to make that clear. So viewers who might think, oh, it's just happening in Texas, I don't have to listen. Actually, this just shows how bad and pervasive the problem is that I'm having to explain how bad it is here in the state of Texas. But here we have, you know, we have a Republican majority for whatever that means, but we still are inviting resolutions honoring Pakistan with Pakistan Day, honoring Bangladeshis with Bangladesh Day. And I just have to tell you, when you go and look at these actual countries and the values that they represent and the morals that they have, the fact that they still have acid attacks in Pakistan and Bangladesh, the fact that women are treated horribly in all of these places. The fact that they still are talking about honor killings that happen in these particular areas because of course, Islamic religion is their state religion. It is the official religion. And they have aspects of Sharia law in these places. So when you really get down to it and you start going, hold on a second, there's absolutely no reason that the state of Texas, that the representatives in the state of Texas should be allowing this to continue, should be allowing this to happen at the Texas state capitol. And yet it is still happening because we have weak Republicans who are too scared of being called a mean name rather than standing up for all of their, you know, not just their constituency, but American citizens nationwide. And that is how you get the Pakistan days and the Bangladeshi days and the, you know, Muslim day at the Capitol and all of these. Americans are standing idly by while these people take over. And they have been, as you point out, Brianna, they have been very vocal about their plan. It is their master plan. Their master plan is to conquer the West and dismantle the West and enact Sharia law. It's what they've done. It's what their MO has always been. They've spelled it out for us very clearly. Ignore it at your own peril, I would say to all of America. Ignore this at your own peril. They have been very clear about what they would like to do. They're doing it slowly. They're doing it incrementally. They're doing it baby steps has always been the way. As you point out, they're purchasing up all of the land very quietly. And every once in a while, you get one of them who will say all of the quiet parts out loud. Ignore it at your own peril.
Yeah, and that's exactly what needs to happen. You know, Sarah, you've been on the ground knocking on doors, trying to uncover alleged fraud, maybe fraud happening. We don't know 100%, but you're just trying to do some investigative work. You're trying to knock on doors and ask residential homeowners about businesses that are claiming they have H-1B visa employees working from their homes. And it's quite strange, especially based on the footage you've now posted up on your X page, which is Sarah Gonzalez TX, folks, if you want to look at this yourself. But we've got a little clip for you as well. And you're showing up to these residential homes and just simply asking them questions about their companies. And it's really surprising because there's no cars in the driveway. There's no cars in the street, which you'd expect from potentially someone claiming that their home is where they do business and that there's a dozen people working for them on these H-1Bs. But they're also getting really aggressive with you. Let's take a listen to clip 16.
All right, we're heading over to a company called 3B's Technologies. Now, there were actually 27 H-1B visas approved in 2022 through 2025 for this particular company. The jobs include a software developer, software engineer, IT project manager. So I'm thinking like very high-tech hub for 3B's Technologies. Let's see what we find out. Are we sure? Do we have the right... We have the right address here. This is 27 H-1B visas for this location, and it's a residential home. Okay, 130 Darbon Lane, Irving, Texas, 75039. This is the address that's on here, so would have 27 H-1Bs. Let's see. All right. Okay, the doorbell... Doorbell's broken. Not even a... Looks like they boarded up the window. Hello? I'm looking for 3Bs. Hello? So, very strange. 3Bs Technologies. Is that a house, as it turns out? And the Ring doorbell's broken, so I can't even... press it. I'm not, they're probably watching me right now because they've got security cameras all over the place. No one at the door. No sign of life for the 27 H-1B workers at 3B's Technologies. Ma'am, just really quick. I'm not selling anything. I literally just have a question for you. I was just asking if you knew, if you had ever met the person who lives here. Well, I'm trying. Hey, listen, hold on. Please. I mean you no harm. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm literally just trying to expose fraud.
I understand.
Can you tell me what you've seen?
I'm on work calls and I can't deal with it.
Can you just tell me what you've seen?
I'm on work calls and I can't deal with it right now.
Okay, is there a better time to come back and speak with you?
Not really, because I have a company and I don't want to be involved. I have other
people. Well, you've seen some shady stuff go down then. I mean, what are we talking here? I'll blur your face. I will blur everything. I'm just, I just want, we're just trying to get to the bottom of it.
I'm sorry.
Please, can we just come back? Okay, so this neighbor is obviously terrified to tell me what's going on. She just said multiple different times that she's seen some shady stuff go down, and she has a family, and she doesn't want to be involved. So whatever is happening here at 130 Darbon Lane for 3B's Technologies really stinks.
So again, Sarah, you're not alleging that there's fraud. Well, you're alleging that there's fraud. You haven't proven any of the fraud, though. So I just want to make that clear. We could give them that level of leniency in all of this because we just have questions to ask. And unfortunately, you know, you're knocking on these doors and people don't want to answer those questions. And based on the neighbor's response, I think it's very telling. They don't want involvement in it because they know exactly what's going on over there. And they know that it's probably likely criminal. I mean, that's what it sounds like, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I appreciate you making clear. I ask at the end of the video, I display everything that we have uncovered. I show how we've got shell company after shell company that leads us to nowhere, to buildings that are in construction. There are no companies that are officing out of them. I put forth one other gentleman who, if they go to my X page, they can watch the full video, of course. But another gentleman who, I come to the door, I literally ask him about his company, and he immediately tells me he's calling the cops. He calls the cops and tells them that I'm threatening him. Now, is that the behavior of someone who is abiding the laws? Is that the behavior of someone who is totally innocent and, you know, isn't defensive of knowing that he's done something illegal and is about to get caught? It just stunk, right? It just did not smell right. It didn't pass the smell test for me. So I can't, of course, determine that there is fraud going on with this specific cases. But what I can tell you is we've provided all of the information and we have shown how easy it is for just a regular person to go onto these portals that the government has and to go double check the work of all of these H-1B visa holders to go see where their actual location is supposed to be. And for us to determine, hold on, who in the government is double checking this? Because if it's that easy for me to go on the system and go check this stuff out and say, wait, you're telling me 27 people office out of this small home and there's no one there? Wait, you're telling me that you have 13 workers in a 9x9 room with a card table set up? It doesn't pass the smell test for me. And so while I can't definitively say that these specific cases that I exposed, I can't definitively say with 100% proof that there is fraud going on. But what I can say is that there is a major scam that the government needs to be willing to look at and root out. And we need USCIS to go out to all of these places with all of these visa holders, and they need to be investigating this, and they need to hold these people accountable, because the way that the laws are set up, the way that these visas are set up, it is just ripe with fraud and corruption. And we cannot have that on our watch. We need to be exposing this. So this is one part of a series. We're going to have many more to come. Because it is just, it's so rampant, it's so corrupt, and it's so in your face about it. The fact that I had a man who I believe to be engaging in fraud call a taxpayer-funded service of 911 to tell on me for, you know, exposing said fraud, the audacity of these people. They think that they can just get away with this and keep it up. So I would encourage everyone to, you know, not only watch it, but what can we all be investigating? What can we all be exposing? I want these people to be so uncomfortable here in my country that they leave. That's what I would like to happen.
Yeah. And Sarah, you've lived in this area for many, many years now, and you've seen the transformation. These H-1B visas are being dished out specifically in the DFW area. And, you know, I visited a bunch of times and I've now moved there. And I can tell you that's been a drastic turn from when I would visit 10 years ago. I mean, it's very obvious what's happening here, and that is that the DFW area is getting an abundance of H-1B visa holders to live there, and they're getting an abundance of these Muslim migrants who have moved in to their communities and are now looking to take over. What have been the most alarming signs that you've seen in all of this? Because, again, you've been here. You're a lifelong Texan, and you're seeing this all take place right in front of your very eyes.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, what's happening is that this program is just being completely obliterated with, you know, the idea behind it. Of course, the idea is I think well-intentioned, maybe, that, oh, well, if we have someone who has a very, very special, unique skill set that we can't find here in America, we can bring that person over and they can contribute to America and the American economy with their very, very specialized skill set. Unfortunately, Brianna, what's happening is that, you know, a couple people come over, they want to bring their friends, they want to bring their family. And so what's happening is that even at, say, Texas A&M, there is a job posting, an H-1B visa job posting for an athletic trainer. Here in the DFW area, Dallas Independent School District, there are numerous job posting. I mean, I'm talking 30 pages of job posting after job posting for H-1B visas for things like middle school math teacher, for things like bilingual elementary school teacher. They have noticed that when they bring people over on an H-1B visa, say that it's a tech company and they bring someone over, a software engineer for a tech company. Well, what happens is that that person brings their family. Well, their children can't speak English. So now they get to bring more of their own people over here into this country on an H-1B to teach their children English. It's total scam. It's all fraud. Here you see this Texas A&M University athletic trainer. You're telling me we have to farm out an athletic trainer for our country? You can't find any American to take the silly job. I mean, it's athletic trainer is no joke, but like, you're telling me we have a specialized skill set that we can't find in the state of Texas or in this country for athletic trainer? Obviously, that's not the case, but we have these tech firms popping up here in the state. And unfortunately, that has brought a lot of these people into our state, and they've brought with them all of this fraud and corruption and seemingly endless cycle of just finding reasons to bring their friends over. And that's how we've seen our communities transform. And I would say, Brianna, not for the better.
Yeah, not for the better. And we're watching it as it all takes place. I mean, I'm walking down the street and they won't even, like, you know, like the courteous thing to do is either to step out of the way when someone's walking and yes, to just get to one side of the street so you're not taking over the hook. They don't even do that. We're talking about people who have very little respect. They don't know how to drive. These are not the kind of people that you want in your country. And they're not friendly. When they move into your neighborhoods, they're not saying hello. Yes. I'll let you take it away.
Exactly. I just wanted to add to that because that's such a great point to mention. It's not, I'm not scared of being called a xenophobe or anything like that. No. What I can tell you is that when I'm walking on my sidewalk in my neighborhood, which you've been here, Brianna, okay? Yeah. It's not a terrible neighborhood. They're coming into these middle-class areas and they're bringing in like three generations in one home. And I'm walking down my sidewalk in my neighborhood as a native Texan, as an American, and I have to make sure to not cede my ground because there is a Muslim man walking towards me in a turban who refuses to, only at the last minute does he actually not take up the entire sidewalk when he realizes that I'm not going to give up my half of the sidewalk that I'm just trying to walk on. These people are obnoxious. They're bringing in all of their third world values. They're not assimilating. They don't want to be your friend. They don't want to learn your language. They don't want to help, you know, shape our communities for the better. They're coming in here to take American resources. And it's high time that we stop letting it happen.
Yeah, it's time that we stop letting it happen. Sarah Gonzalez, you're doing a great work. I want to remind our audience to head on over to your Twitter page right now. That's where you've put up this full investigation that you've done thus far. Again, you're going to put up more information as this all goes down. But head on over. Sarah Gonzalez TX is where you could find it right now over on her X page. Sarah, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. So thank you.
Thank you, my friend. See you soon.
See you soon. All right, folks, buckle up. Raw Egg Nationalist joining me in studio for the very first time, I think, here at InfoWars. I could be lying to you, though. He'll be joining me in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss.
something feels wrong. There is a disturbance in the force. Someone is awake past their curfew. I sense unauthorized viewing. If they are watching what I think they're watching, there will be hell to pay. You are watching Alex Jones on the Death Star.
Lord Vader! It's not what it looks like.
Do is here. I must find him before it's too late!
Did you hear something?
This place holds many secrets, and I am here to uncover them.
No way, I'm not getting involved with that. I feel the power surging through me. The Force is stronger than ever. Yes, Rob, yes. This is the ultimate power.
Sold out to it. They're blind and they're cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry said, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world
order. You're tuned in to the American Journal. With your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Third hour, final lap around. We've got a big segment coming your way, and it's a good one, of course, because, well, it's someone we don't speak to in person quite often. He is here in studio. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to let our audience know that the Supreme Court has agreed to take on a major case, which for you MAHA lovers out there, this is going to be a good one. This is the glyphosate case in regards to how Roundup, obviously, has used that and how it's literally killing us. I mean, it's killing us. It's in our food. It's in our everything. Joining me now to discuss in studio, Raw Egg Nationalist, which we're very excited for because you have a new book out. We'll get to that in a minute. But welcome. Welcome to Texas.
It's great to be with you. Well, really great to be with you.
Well, we're honored to have you here, as always. I know you're going to be doing the tour, the InfoWars tour throughout the day, so I know our audience will be very excited about that. But, you know, I saw you posting about this, the Supreme Court, and you put it up right now on the InfoWars.com website as well. The Supreme Court has agreed to take up this case. Tell us a little bit about that. Because for our audience at home, by the way, that doesn't know, because I didn't do the intro, but you do some incredible work over at InfoWars.com for us as well.
Yeah, so I'm a weekend reporter for InfoWars. Yes. I'm reporting on the news. But no, this is an interesting story. So this is about glyphosate. So glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, which is the most used, I think it's the most used pesticide in the US. So it's sprayed by the millions and millions of gallons every year on lawns and crops and grasses and pretty much everywhere. And there's been a slew of civil cases against Bayer. It used to be Monsanto, but Monsanto was bought by Bayer, basically regarding the kind of harms that have been caused by glyphosate. So glyphosate is associated with particular kinds of cancers, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, for example. Other forms of cancer, I think thyroid cancers. It's basically associated actually with pretty much every chronic disease you could imagine. I mean, there are reams and reams of scientific studies about glyphosate. Now, Bayer's been hit with a huge number of lawsuits. I mean, it's paid out, I think, something like $10 billion already to settle lawsuits. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to get immunity from further prosecutions. Mm. So they settled a previous slew of lawsuits, and now they're trying to get immunity, and the Supreme Court is going to rule on whether or not they can. So the question is really whether Bayer is going to be immune from you know, these prosecutions, and it would be a good thing if they aren't. And you know, I mean, part of the Maha agenda really is making sure that actually the makers of these harmful pesticides, herbicides, toxic chemicals are held accountable for the harms that they cause. And so, fingers crossed, the Supreme Court will rule that actually no, Bayer has to be held liable for these harms that have been caused.
Yeah, and here in the States, we're actually very aware of this, because I know that there was a movement to try to get this into one of our federal legislation. They were trying to shove this in, and thank God for the Maha movement, who spoke out openly about that and was aggressive at getting that pulled from a recent bill that was supposed to be brought forward. So, I mean, that's the good news here. I know that they're trying their very best with their lobbyists to get this immunity, but thankfully that doesn't seem to be the case. I also want to ask you about this one. This is a personal thing. I want to play clip 17 for our audience, because it has a lot to do with toxic dog food, and I am the nut job that is constantly making food for my dogs from scratch, from real food, real meat, real vegetables, organic, of course, and I'm very passionate about this, so let's take a listen.
Schlock, absolute schlock. If you own a pet, stop giving it that dry kibble garbage. Imagine if you had to eat that. Dogs can just eat raw meat, they'll be way, way happier, way, way healthier. Cereal, byproducts, vegetable proteins, minerals, vitamins, and amino acids, allegedly, and then there's a laundry list of all the synthetic vitamins and stuff. There's worse than this one, but it's like if you were eating dry seed oil grains for your dog, would you be healthy if you ate that? I tweeted the other day that I would give spring water to my dog. That makes sense. Like, give it the same water. I'm not just going to give tap water. People are like, what? You don't just give tap water to your dog? No, I don't want my dog to have its third eye calcified and lose its balls or whatever. But people do cut off the balls of the dog. So, you know, I just like to extend thinking about health and stuff to our family members. That's how I think about dogs.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I am, and my friends all think I'm a nut job. I will literally steam salmon for my dogs from scratch, but it's transformed. I mean, my little one, Giuseppe, he had a very rough fur condition. He's a rescue, and so feeding him real food actually fixed his health personally, and so I'm an advocate for this, but I know this is something that you're also passionate about. I saw this on your X page as well, so I'll let you sound off on that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, the funny thing is actually there isn't much difference between dog kibble and processed foods. Mm-hmm. This isn't an original point being made by me. This is actually made by Catherine Shanahan in the book Deep Nutrition, where she says, look, the same key components go into processed food and dog foods. It's things like corn, soy protein, seed and vegetable oils, and then, you know, all of these kind of industrial ingredients, emulsifiers, texturizers, flavorings, etc. So what my friend Solbra in that clip is saying is actually as true of kibble as it is of the processed food that, you know, Americans consume to satisfy the majority of their daily calories. I mean, we're not just talking about dog food. But yes, I did a post in response to Solbra's video where I said, look, the lifespan of many dog breeds, things like golden retrievers, labradors, has halved in the last, I think, 50 years, maybe even less than 50 years, maybe the last generation. And that's largely because they are consuming kibble. Now, kibble is the standard thing that you give to a dog. And as well as being, you know, full of these cheap ingredients, it's also heavily, heavily contaminated with things like mycotoxins, which are mold toxins. So that's what I talk about in the post. I talk about aflatoxin, for example, which you find in corn. And it's the world's most powerful natural carcinogen, aflatoxin, and it's on corn, especially Mexican corn. And, dogs get cancer, and the reason they probably get cancer actually is because they're consuming this cheap kibble.
Yeah.
But it's the same for humans as well. So, you know, I mean, it's not silly to insist on feeding a dog a high quality, you know, raw meat diet. I mean, I feed my cat a raw meat diet. The butchers find that very, very funny. In the, you know, in the town where I live, they call my cat the princess when I go in there to buy heart and liver and kidney and ground beef and chicken. But actually, you know, it's not any more expensive than feeding a supermarket bought diet, and the cat's in amazing health. She's 18 years old.
Yeah, well, Giuseppe's 14 years old, and he's still amazing. Bouncing around the dog park. Yeah. The guys here, they look like they're hostage. They're being held hostage in this photo here. But that's Gia and Giuseppe. Both look like they're dying on the inside because I'm making them take a photo. But, you know, they live a very good life. Giuseppe wasn't so well fed before, was missing fur, and now he's thriving. So, yeah, I say it has a lot to do with the food we feed our dogs. And I'm glad to hear you do this to your cat as well. Before we pivot, though, I also want to ask you about eggs, because I actually reached out to Vital Farms because I will pay $11.99 for a dozen of their eggs just because I was told this is great for you. This is a good product. But I did see some rumors on social media about them feeding their chickens. I believe it was soy products, corn products. I reached out to them. They did say yes, but there was a study that you highlighted. And I think it's quite interesting, of an individual who went out and got a bunch of eggs at Whole Foods. And it looks like Vital Farms still ranks at the top of the list when it comes to the best in the nation for being soy-free, is how they angled that, and low omega-6 eggs. What is it about the Vital Farm eggs that you think is so great for Americans?
Well, I think the basic principle, one of the basic principles that I emphasize when I talk about nutrition, is you are what you eat eats, right? Yeah. So if you're eating chicken that's fed low quality ingredients, if you're eating eggs from chickens that are fed low quality ingredients, GMO corn, GMO soy, then the product is going to resemble what the chicken's been fed. You know, you're gonna get the seed and vegetable oils in the eggs, for example, and it's going to alter the composition of the fats. So what you really want is you want to buy eggs from producers that raise their chickens on pasture. So, you know, chickens should be eating insects. They should be feeding on grasses and leaves. You know, they should be foraging around in the dirt, finding foods naturally. But the majority of producers actually just, you know, stuff chickens full of corn and soy. So Vital Farms eggs are supposed to be pasture raised. And so that means, yes, the chickens live on pasture. They're outside. They're foraging for their own feed. Their feed might be supplemented, but it's not going to be supplemented with GMO corn or GMO soy. Now, I do think that Vital Farms, they were taken over in 2020, I think, by a big conglomerate. So it was a small business that got big and was then, you know, bought out by an even larger conglomerate, which is often the case with foods. And I think something has changed since then. I think something's changed. So the product may not be quite as good as it used to be, but you just have to look at the labels. That's what you have to do. You have to be really careful, really discerning with the foods that you buy. You know, if you're going to buy eggs, look beyond the label, do some research. If you really want the benefits of pasture-raised eggs, then do some research. Ideally, you'd go to a local farm shop where you can see the chickens. Yeah. You can see that they're being raised properly. You can see they're pastured. You can talk to the farmer yourself, but that's not necessarily practical for every single American. So generally, do research, but ideally what you want is pasture-raised eggs.
Yeah, and that's what we always aim for. They're so expensive these days. It's kind of crazy, but I mean, even when I was living in Florida, I was always making the trips out to my local farm to grab up a couple of carts of those. So they call them flats, actually, when you go to straight to the farm. So that's what I was doing over there. I want to switch gears up a little bit because you're obviously just launched your book.
I have.
The Last Men, Liberalism and the Death of Masculinity has just dropped right now. It's available on Amazon right now. Now, this one's interesting, and I know we've spoken briefly about this, but to have you in studio is great.
Yeah.
Because we want to talk a little bit about the decline of the Western man. I know this is something that's big and that you've been on the ball about, and this is why you have a massive audience. So many people are interested in learning more about this and how we are declining as a society, not just men, but I mean, that's your focus for the book, but women as well. But again, your specific scope for this book is focused on the men. Give us some brief overview as to what you expose in this book.
Yeah, so there's a big literature on the sort of crisis of masculinity. You know, I mean, Jordan Peterson was catapulted to fame through his appeals to young men and his appeals to young men to clean their rooms, you know, to take control of their lives and to kind of rise to the occasion and actually be men rather than perpetual teenagers. So there's a lot of writing on this topic, but actually there isn't a lot of writing on the biological roots of this crisis. And I think there are biological roots to the crisis. You know, so 15 years ago you had, 10 years ago you had Alex Jones talking about the gay frogs, mm-hmm. right? And he was roundly mocked for suggesting that actually, you know, toxic chemicals in the food supply and the water might be having gender-bending effects. They might be lowering testosterone, making men less masculine. Well, that's actually true. That is actually true. And there's a chapter in the book where I talk about the gay frogs theory. And I say, yes. Look, Alex Jones was right. You know, people chose not to take him seriously because they wanted to portray him as a crazy right-wing conspiracy theorist. But he was talking about science. He was pointing towards particular scientific studies that had been done and that had been taken very seriously by the mainstream media when they were released 5 years earlier in sort of 2010. But the book, yes, the book is about the biological roots of masculine decline in the West. So we've seen a civilizational decline in testosterone levels. That's the main marker, I think, of this biological decline among men is the decline in testosterone levels. So they're cratering. It's something like 1% year on year. So that might not sound like very much, but 25 years, that's a quarter. 50 years, that's half. What's going to happen in a century? You know, is there going to be any testosterone at all? And testosterone is the master male hormone. It's what makes men men. It's not the only thing that makes men men. You know, the man with the most testosterone in the world isn't necessarily the manliest man in the world. Mm-hmm. But there is nevertheless a very, very strong association between testosterone levels and masculinity. It not only is responsible for muscle mass, it's responsible for things like mood and motivation, libido. And, you know, when you see a man who actually has low testosterone, then it's really something. And there are whole forums devoted to what life is like with low testosterone on Reddit, for example, R Low T, where I actually take some testimonies in the book from men about, you know, what's it like to have low testosterone? Just how bad is a man's life when he has low testosterone? And the answer is it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. So the book is really an examination of the biological roots of this crisis. Toxic chemicals, obesity, stress, lack of sleep, all sorts of things like that. But there are also solutions in the book as well. So that's one of the things. I mean, it's a serious problem. It's a really big problem, mm-hmm. you know, really big problem. We're facing these unprecedented changes in the hormonal, the male hormonal environment and the female hormonal environment. But there are things that we can do. And, you know, that's something that my work has always been focused on is simple solutions to the problem, simple interventions that you can make in order to improve your testosterone. Like, for instance, fixing your sleep, which is a kind of underappreciated factor actually in hormonal health is sleep. So there was a study that showed, for example, that a man who doubles his sleep from 4 hours a night to 8 hours a night can double his testosterone.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty. But yes, it's an intervention in the crisis of masculinity literature, but the focus is quite unique, I think. There isn't really a book like this that talks about the biological roots of masculinity and how they're under assault from so many different directions all at once in the modern world.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, too, because I know a lot of people are talking now about the water, like you were just saying. Although a lot of people think it's a joke, it's serious when we talk about the frogs being gay, because there's a lot of things that are being put into our water. And, you know, one of those things is females who are on birth control. And when they're using the bathroom, that ends up in our water supply. Do you want to touch upon that? Because that has to do exactly with men.
Yes, it does. Yeah, no, birth control in the water supply is a big problem.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to get rid of it. But what's worse, actually, I think, even than birth control, is the fact that basically every single industrial chemical, whether we're talking about glyphosate or whether we're talking about the chemicals that are used in plastics, phthalates, BPA, things like that, they're all estrogenic. So they all mimic the female hormone estrogen in the human body. So we're under assault constantly from these chemicals that are interfering with the very vital ratio between testosterone to estrogen in the human body. So that's what determines whether you're male or female. So if you're a man, you have more testosterone than estrogen. If you're a woman, you have more estrogen than testosterone. And these chemicals that we're taking into our bodies every single day in the food, in the water, in the air, through contact with plastics, just through touching plastics, even touching receipts, enter our bodies and they interfere with this ratio between testosterone to estrogen, and it has all sorts of terrible effects. It can make people infertile. It can cause the development of reproductive cancers. It affects the metabolic rate. It can make you put on weight. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And we've woken up very late to this problem. Thankfully, I think we are waking up now. So, you know, this is something that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has talked about at great length and has made central to the Make America Healthy Again agenda, is addressing the toxic burden of modern life and doing something about harmful chemicals. That's why the glyphosate suit is so important, because, look, I mean, we have the evidence now, and manufacturers do need to do something about how toxic their chemicals are. They can't just be insulated from the harms that they're causing.
Yeah, no, and they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. And I think this is why it's so important for folks to understand what's going on here. Because again, this is like a, I would say it's like a war on our men at this point. I mean, this, you're getting hit from all different fronts, but the chemical fronts, from just simply tap water, is a big one. And again, just to bring my dog into it, he doesn't even drink tap water. He's got filtered water for Berkeley. So this is like one of our things. But I also want to ask you this, because I think it's really important to highlight. This isn't just, and I understand that it's probably like a medical interest when it comes to the chemicals that are being pushed into our food and our water supplies, you detail in your book. But also, our adversaries would really love it for our men to have low T. Can you explain that a little bit for our audience, what that means to them?
Yeah, well, I just think, look, a society of low testosterone individuals is a weak society.
Yeah.
A society of weak men is a weak society. I mean, a nation is only as strong as the individuals of which it's composed. So if you have a nation of overweight, ill, chronically ill people who are dependent upon the government, it affects life in every single way. I mean, it doesn't just affect military recruitment, although that's a serious thing. I mean, you know, recruiters have for a long time been warning about, you know, declining rates of fitness, declining rates of health. You know, it's much harder to, the average man is much less likely to be fit and healthy and ready to serve than he would have been in the past. I mean, you know, health is a national security issue. But also, I think just in general, it affects the political process in so many ways. And one of the funny things that I talk about in the book is actually, you know, the decline of testosterone in Western civilization in many ways tracks with the leftward shift of societies in the West too. Mm-hmm. And there are all sorts of very funny scientific studies that show, for example, that if you give men a dose of testosterone, you basically make them more right wing. So personality and social psychologists will do these experiments where they give men testosterone gel on the arm or a placebo, and then they'll measure their attitudes towards certain things or their actions or whatever. And if you give a man a dose of testosterone, you make him happier, among other things, with hierarchy. You know, and a properly ordered society is a hierarchical society. You know, some people are better at other things than, you know, other people. And, you know, you have to have some kind of hierarchy to have a functioning society. And the left-wing project has been the elimination of hierarchy since the French Revolution. So, yeah, I mean, I think that a low testosterone society is a very particular kind of society, more likely to be left-wing, easier to govern in certain fundamental respects, less likely to be patriotic. So, yeah, I mean, it's not hard to see how it would benefit America's adversaries, actually, for Americans to be so unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why we're hitting on all these fronts. And so this does make sense in that angle from all of it. I want to ask you more about the hormones, though. You know, folks at home are looking to possibly get themselves tested to see where they fall in all of this. Where would you recommend they start?
Well, I mean, one of the problems, actually, you know, with this testosterone decline is that nobody agrees on the precise definition of low testosterone. So you can go to one doctor and get measured and he'll say, oh, no, your testosterone levels are fine. And then you'll go to another doctor and he'll say, oh, my God, you are low testosterone. We need to get you on testosterone replacement therapy. So there's no real agreement. I think you have to work on the basis of symptoms. And the symptoms of testosterone deficiency are very, very clear in men. It's things like, well, you might develop man boobs, for example. That's one of the most worrying physical manifestations.
Yeah, Bill Gates.
Testosterone. Exactly, yeah, in his lovely lilac sweater,
yeah.
Looking like the pregnant man emoji. So, I mean, working on symptomology is probably the best way to do it. You know, like, oh, you lack motivation, you're anxious, you don't have any libido, you're putting on weight, that kind of thing. Yeah, maybe go get tested. But fundamentally, I mean, one of the main things that I recommend is not going straight to testosterone replacement therapy, for men at least. Unless you have a congenital problem, unless you, there's an actual biological reason, genetic reason why you can't produce enough testosterone, you can absolutely transform your hormonal profile just through working out, cleaning up your diet, getting more sleep, etc. But yeah, I mean, the first thing you can do really is to look at, am I satisfied with my life? How do I feel? Do I feel like someone who has high testosterone or low testosterone, and work from there? But really, mainly, it's about cleaning up your life. It's about, you know, making your life better, working out, eating the right kinds of foods, getting sunlight, sleeping.
Yeah, which are all key things. You know, it's funny because I actually did go to a med spa and I got tested to see where I fall on all my hormones and everything. And the guy did tell me that I was low on testosterone and I should take some testosterone. And I was like, dude, I don't want to grow a mustache. I don't think the audience would like it if I had a facial hair, especially our audience.
Well, this is a new thing, actually. There've been quite a few pieces, I think, in, I can't remember whether it was the New York Times or the New Yorker, or it might even have been both. A lot of women now are taking testosterone. Yeah. It's a big thing. I mean, it boosts libido, for example. I mean, it makes women kind of ravenous, actually, if they go on testosterone. But it's a thing. Like, women in their 40s are doing it a lot.
Yeah,
it's being pushed quite hard. But women do need testosterone. This is another thing. You know, it's not like men are all testosterone and women are all estrogen. No, you need the balance. Mm-hmm. You need the balance. And actually, you know, as a man, having too little estrogen is as bad as having too little testosterone, right?
Yeah.
Estrogen is responsible for brain health, for example, and bone health and all sorts of other things. So, but yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I know. He's like, you get it lasered. I'm like, no, our audience will not accept it if I have a mustache and I'm telling them the news. It's just not a thing that we do over on InfoWars. But, you know, Charles, your book is amazing. And again, folks, you got to head on over to Amazon if you're looking to look at all this, the Western decline, the men specifically, though, through a hormone lens. You got to head on over right now to Amazon and grab this book, The Last Men. This is very important, Liberalism and Death of Masculinity. That is the book that you're going to snatch right now over at Amazon. Put it in your cart, cash it out, get this one. This is going to be a good one. I think I'm going to get this book for Eric Swalwell and Bill Gates and just send it to their homes, because I have a feeling they probably aren't aware that they're low on their tea these days. And so this would be a nice way to kind of let them know of that. But, you know, Charles, it's great to have you in studio, and we're always honored, as always, to have you here. I know you're doing the big tour today, so we look forward to seeing you on with Alex and Harrison as well. But folks, that does it for us here on The American Journal. We'll catch you here again tomorrow, working on a big show, so we look forward to having you back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock. We'll be right back.